I want to get back into the area and teaching on dominion again tonight. And in the recent services where we've taught on this, I was going to teach this on Sunday. Didn't get to that. And don't tell me that's the best sermon I ever preached, because that might... But anyway, but I want to share, we've been talking about, remember the verses in Ephesians 1, verses 20, 21, and then chapter 2, verse 6. If you put those together, it says, we're raised up together and made to sit together with Jesus in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named. And that far above, it can't be, that seat far above can't be our physical body, because we're still living down here. I mean, our flesh is still here on this earth. But it's not talking about that. It's not a physical seat. It's a spiritual position of this new creation, this born-again human spirit that we received when we received Christ. And that part of our being was raised up far above all these forces of darkness. And so the Lord said to me years ago about this, and I never forgot it, just stuck with me. He said, if you're going to walk in dominion, you have to live out of that part of your being that was raised up.
That's right.
Far above these forces of darkness. Amen. You can't walk in dominion living out of your flesh.
No,
in other words, your fleshly nature, you know.
Right.
You can't walk in dominion living out of your mind or intellect. You can't walk in dominion living out of your soul, which includes your emotions. Your mind and your emotions are in your soul, your will as well, but those two are not the same thing. The rational mind is the rational, intellectual part of our being. Americans are very intellectual. But then the emotional part of our being is we understand emotions. That part of our being can't rule us. That doesn't mean we don't have a mind. That doesn't mean we don't have emotions.
Right.
They have a place,
yeah.
Yet that they're not supposed to rule us whenever it comes to them trying to pull us out of faith or out of the Word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your mind can't figure that out.
No.
Because your mind, you know, it thinks, well, I can't do that because if I do that, then I won't be able to have as many hours at the job. Maybe I don't work Wednesday nights, or I don't know, you know, something. And your mind will rationally try to calculate that and then kick it out and act like and tell you, I can't do that because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But as I've said many times, it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. Amen. And faith is of the heart, not of the rational, intellectual mind. And so that part of our being can't rule us, mind, will, or emotions. You can be strong-willed, but strong-willed in the wrong direction. Or you can turn that strong will towards God. Amen. I don't ever encourage people not to have a personality, even if it's a strong-willed, bull-headed kind of personality. I just encourage them, turn that towards God. Turn that towards God. You could be a great blessing. You turn that towards God, you could be a great blessing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, yeah. But so I wanted to share that and just kind of springboard off of that again, because the fleshly lusts are both in the physical body and in the mind and the emotions. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:3 that we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, and then it mentions those lusts in two areas of our being, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The mind's a part of the soul, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So these soulical feelings, which I'm going to focus in on a little bit, and I'm going to talk more in the area of unforgiveness tonight. If those things are dominating us, you know, soulical, emotional feelings, which unforgiveness, as we get to that part, you'll see this. Unforgiveness is in your feelings. That social, that emotional part of your being that just has a lust to hold on to certain things, like unforgiveness, that makes you feel certain ways.
Right.
That you have that appetite in your fleshly, unrenewed mind and unrestored soul. That if you hold on to that, it'll pull you right out of the spirit where you're not able to rule and reign anymore. Already preaching pretty good. So anything that's making your decisions for you is what's dominating you. I've said that a number of times. I want to say it again. Anything that is moving you and making your decisions for you, you're giving it dominion. In other words, the real spiritual battle, the main spiritual battle within the believer's life is not against the enemy.
Yeah.
That you might challenge that in your mind, but really it's between the spirit, soul, and body. Which part of your being is going to rule you?
Right.
And when God talks to your heart, or the word enlightens the eyes of your heart, that part, that your heart then that has that light is to dominate your natural thinking.
Right.
Bible said, Jesus said in Mark chapter number 4, he said the spirit of man, well, it doesn't say the spirit of man is what it is, but he talks about who takes a candle and puts it under a bushel basket. Which really it's the spirit of man from the context, from what the other parts of the Bible say about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel basket? In other words, whenever I light your spirit with the revelation of God's word or revelation from the spirit of what my plan is, don't put the bushel basket and reasoning over it, or don't pull that or drag that into your emotional realm and get all emotional about it. Because you get all emotional about it, your emotions will tell you don't want to do that. I know you don't want to admit it, but they're not your friends when it comes to trying to make their decisions, your decisions for you. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about this in the area of your feelings, particularly when it comes to unforgiveness. This is one of the greatest hindrances to your dominion. Letting your feelings of unforgiveness, or, you know, if somebody said somebody hurt my feelings, well, they're not talking about they physically felt something, touch their body or contact their body, like if you hit somebody in the shoulder. But when they say my feelings were hurt, they're referring to the fact that that person did them, something that person did to them, stirred up fleshly feelings of anger, ill will, animosity towards the one that did them wrong. Isn't that right? No one has good feelings towards somebody that has done you wrong. Somebody said, well, it just seems like I have more done wrong to me than everybody. It's just because you talk about it more. That's the only thing about it.
That's all it is.
Bible said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. They'll come to everybody. Just everybody doesn't talk about it as much as you do. Well, I don't know why I'm over here. Maybe I should go over here. That side needed that, right? So, amen. You have all the the feelings of unforgiveness and strive towards that person that any old sinner would have. But aren't you glad you don't have to let that dominate you? I got good news for you tonight. You're the boss of your feelings. You can tell them. You can talk to them. Amen. And the Bible talks about that. We'll look at that in a minute. And so, no one has good feelings in the flesh towards somebody who's done you wrong, but because that's the nature of the flesh. The nature of the flesh is basically selfishness and pride. That's the basic nature of the flesh. And it'll react to wrongdoing with animosity. Well, you didn't quite treat me as much as I am worthy of being treated. Somebody said, Lord, I want to go into the ministry. You better get this part right then. If God's called you to the ministry, well, welcome to, anyway. So, you're not a slave to your feelings. You're not a slave to your feelings. You've been made its master. Even the feelings of unforgiveness, you can talk to those. You can talk to those. Amen. Bible said in Romans 8:12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. A debtor, I looked this up one time, this word debtor, it means somebody that's obligated. You can understand that. If I'm in debt to somebody, I'm obligated to pay. Well, that's that. In other words, he's saying we're debtors not to the flesh. That means we're not obligated to the flesh. Oh, I like that. We used to be obligated because we had the nature of sin in our spirit as well as every other part of our bad self. But now we don't have that nature in our spirit. So we're not obligated to live out of that nature in our flesh. We have another option now. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And love forgives. Amen. That unforgiveness doesn't have to let that, you don't have to let that dominate you anymore. You're not a slave to your feelings.
Amen.
You can let the love of God dominate you.
Amen.
Bible said, Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes.
right.
If it's in there, which kind of love? God's love. God's the love of God.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
Well, that's the kind of love I was loved with. Yep, you're a debtor to every man you contact, every man you ever meet, every man you ever anything. You're a debtor. You owe them that debt. You owe them love. We're going to see that in a few minutes. You owe that to them. Praise the Lord. So there's to be nothing that afflicts or binds or harasses you. And that includes this this unforgiveness feelings, these feelings of unforgiveness. Amen. You're made to rule over everything. Praise the Lord. Unforgiveness. Now, this one, you might not put this on your refrigerator, but it'll help you. Unforgiveness is practiced by those who are living in the realm of their emotional feelings rather than the realm of practicing the Word of God out of their spirit. They don't feel like they love them, so they don't act lovely. Well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. If I don't feel it, I don't do it. Well, you better redefine what hypocrite is. A hypocrite, a doer of the word is not a hypocrite.
Come on.
You can act lovely when you don't feel like acting lovely.
Yeah.
It's called walking in the Spirit. It's called walking in the Spirit. Amen. So really those that are in unforgiveness are dominated by their feelings. Now go over to 1 John chapter 2. Look at something with me. Walking in unforgiveness is not walking in the light of love. In fact, hold your place in 1 John. Hold your place in 1 John. Go over to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I want you to see a verse. We're going to refer to this verse in a number of ways tonight. But look at the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We'll start, we could start so far back here. If you want to just write down where, you can start reading later. Start verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and so forth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 30. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor be put away from you. Verse 31. Verse 32. Be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive how? Like God forgave you. Now, we're not talking about something that doesn't apply to any of us here. You and I have wonderful opportunities. At least weekly, if not daily, of taking offense, grabbing onto unforgiveness, getting our feelings hurt. You know what I'm talking about? So this applies to all of us. So what does he say here? Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, what?
Forgiving.
Forgiving. So what does that tell us? People that won't forgive are not tenderhearted. What's the opposite of tender-hearted? Hard-hearted.
Yeah,
hard-hearted. Yeah. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as there's going to be a whole lot of practical advice as we go tonight. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what's he talking about? He's talking about forgiveness. Holding no unforgiveness towards your brother. Because how many of you know he didn't write it in chapter and verse? You don't write in chapter and verse. Any letters you write. You ever write an email in chapter and verse? That put in there later by man to help divide the Bible up so you can reference it. Be ye therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore. See, he's still talking about what he just talked about. I mean, he's still talking about unforgiveness because he said be ye therefore. Therefore means he's connecting it to what he just said. Followers of God, that means imitators of God, as dear children, and what? Walk in love. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. So he's talking about walking in love, as Christ hath loved us. And up there he said, forgive one another, as God hath forgiven you. So he's still talking about forgiving, and he said, forgiving is walking in love.
Yes.
You notice he said unforgiveness, then he said walking in love.
Yes.
So forgiveness is walking in love. Unforgiveness is not walking in love. So we made that connection, right? Now go to 1 John 2, verse 10. I think you have your finger there, right? He that loves his brother, so he's talking about walking in love towards our brother, abides in the light. So walking in love is walking in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness. So hating or being unforgiving, you know, hate really is unforgiveness is what it is. Hate is his brother is in darkness. and walketh in darkness and knows not whither he goes. Now, he's not just saying unbelievers. He's talking about Christians here. He that walks, he hates his brother, walks in darkness, or is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So, you know, unforgiveness is not in line with the love walk, is it? Love forgives. We'll get to later, but it also forgets. Amen. The flesh holds grudges and offenses, but not the love of God in your heart. Any step outside of love is sin, because love is the great commandment of the New Testament. If you fulfill the law of love, you won't break any of the Old Testament laws. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, so forth and so on. John 13:34, new commandment I give unto you. Jesus is talking to the church. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How am I supposed to love you? Love one another. How are we supposed to love one another? As I have loved you. Well, nobody can do that, Pastor. You know, God's love is so much superior to our love. No human can love like God. Well, then you better tell Jesus he's unjust to require you to love like he loved you. God so loved the world that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Sinners were people that were wronging God. And how many of you know God didn't have any good feelings towards us? Because we had done him wrong. Displeased him. Amen. But he loved us anyhow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't do that for lovely people. He did it for you and me before we were yet lovely. And that's how we're to love one another. So you don't wait until people treat you right before you treat them right. They're not your standard. The love, the way God loved you, is your standard. Well, if they would treat me right, I would treat them right. Well, who's going to... See, you got two people saying that, and nobody's initiating the love of God. So that's why there's all kinds of trouble. And the love of God never fails. Love never fails. It'll work if you'll work it.
That's right. Amen.
So he's talking about walking in love. And walking in love in 1 John 2 is walking in the light. Isn't it? So to walk in unforgiveness, hatred, and offense, and so forth, that's walking in darkness. Okay. Now with that in mind, go over to Ephesians chapter number 6. I don't have the verse here. I didn't put the verse down here. But you know what it starts out there in verse number 10. Talks about be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, for we wrestle not. Then down there later, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Which verse is that? But against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. What? Who? The rulers? The rulers of the... Who do they rule over? Those in darkness.
Come on.
Of this world. Well, wait a minute. I thought 1 John said if we don't walk in love, we're walking in darkness. It did, didn't it? So where can Satan rule? Where people are walking in darkness. So this is giving place. Not walking in love gives place to the devil. Because he's able to rule over those who are walking in darkness.
Come on.
Am I adding to the Bible? Is that what that said? It actually said, now it says it in many ways in many different places. But I just wanted you to see there that really a man who is ruled by unforgiveness because those feelings are in him and he won't let the love of God dominate him. He's only letting those feelings dominate him. When a man's doing that, he's walking in a measure of darkness. And that will give place to the devil. Satan can rule over a person like that. Isn't that right? Walking in love is walking in the light. And the light, Bible said in 1 John chapter number 1, I mean not 1 John, but the Gospel of John chapter number 1, the light shined in the darkness and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. In other words, it couldn't take it out. It couldn't snuff it out. You want to keep the devil from having place in your life, walk in love. And that includes don't let the feelings of unforgiveness keep you from forgiving. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Amen. So any man who's being dominated by those emotions and those feelings of unforgiveness, because you don't have good feelings for anybody that's done you wrong, But you don't have to let those feelings dominate you. But even as a believer, you can let those feelings dominate you if you... But you can also choose to let the love of God dominate you. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you continue to embrace hurts and take offense, then there's not going to be any freedom for you. Amen. Those rulers of the darkness of this world, they can rule over you in that place. Amen. Listen, people are human. They're going to do you wrong. I said they're going to do you wrong. People miss it. Anybody here ever missed it? That's because you're a people. You're a person. Humans that are not redeemed in the flesh, we're redeemed. Our new nature is on the inside of us, but our flesh still has the same old nature of a sinner. It'll do anything any old sinner will do if we let it. Doesn't mean we have let it. See, we have another option now. But people are human. They miss it. But just because they stumble doesn't mean you have to stumble. What if somebody called you up and said, hey, come on over here. We're all drinking strychnine tonight. Well, so, well, I guess if they're drinking it, I got to drink it too. No, you know, just because they're drinking it doesn't mean you have to die with them.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
And just because somebody else is in unforgiveness or not walking in love doesn't mean you have to get out of love. Take the high road. Not the psychopath. You know what I mean? Talking about just... There's more revelation in that than what you want to admit. People get in all kinds of unforgiveness. They get tormented emotionally. We're going to talk about that tonight if we can get to it. Amen. If you're going to go on and grow spiritually and walk in the blessings of God and drink in the increase that God has for you and everything, you're just going to have to learn to forgive and release people. They did you wrong. Well, welcome to the human race. Release them. Just release them. Don't carry that around with you. Forget it. Let it go. The past deserves one thing, and that is to be forgotten. Just let it go. Forget it. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to become a spiritual cripple or some kind of spiritual midget or something like that. You're just not going to go on. And see, to walk on with God, you got to keep walking in the light. The light of all the Word of God, but the light of love is a big part of it. Amen. Darkness is Satan's realm. Just remember that. Darkness is Satan's realm. That evil spirits are able to rule over those who are yet in spiritual darkness. Amen. So, did you get all that? This is one of the biggest hindrances to spirituality. I mean, you need to learn to talk to your feelings. Go to Psalm, well, don't go there because we looked at it already. We've got to move on here. Psalm 42, verse number 11, you remember it. David is writing to her about what he said to his soul. He's talking to his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now, we don't know why his soul was cast down. We don't know if it was discouragement or something or whatever. But it could have been just, he's just, somebody did him wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he's just down about it.
Yeah.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of thy countenance and my God. So he's talking to his soul.
That's right.
Is that? Can you do that?
Yes.
I've done that many times.
Yeah.
I've talked to myself. So now you get a hold of yourself.
Right.
Count it all joy.
That's
another opportunity to develop in the love walk. Just count it all joy. Remember that story Brother Hagin told about the end of the, he used to pastor, you know, pastor a number of churches over the years. He had one church where at the end of the year, they had a kind of testimony time where everybody talked about what they were thankful for, what God had done for them. And at the end, Brother Hagin said, I just want to tell you before we go tonight that I'm thankful for Sister So-and-so. And Sister So-and-so was the biggest problem he had in the church. Remember that? And everybody started like, what on earth is he talking about? And he said, she's helped me so much this year to grow in love. That's the way you ought to be. Just thank God for the opportunity. Just tell yourself you're being prepared for something. Count it all joy. Amen. So learn to talk to your feelings just like you learn to talk to sickness. We've learned to do that, haven't we? Just like Jesus talked to things. That's what Mark 11:23 is all about. It's in the context of him cursing. He talked to that fig tree. He talked to things nobody would have thought to talk to. Fig trees, wind and waves, fevers, dead men. There's, he talked a thing, and people wouldn't have thought. But see, he also talked to thoughts.
Yes.
In Luke 4, when Satan suggested something to him, he answered that thought.
Yes.
And you should answer your thoughts, that thoughts of unforgiveness, and you should answer your feelings.
That's right.
Come on now. Amen. That's what dominion's all about. When something talks to you, you talk to it.
Thank you.
It's trying to boss you around, you boss it around. Hallelujah. Now, so you're the boss of your feelings. You don't have to, you can feel terrible and not act on them and change those feelings.
Absolutely.
Amen. You can act on your feelings and it'll reinforce the feeling. But you can act out of the love of God in your heart and change those feelings.
Amen.
Oh, if I had time. I will tell you one testimony. So Jesus talked to those things, didn't he? He didn't just ignore it, hope it'll go away. He talked to it. Praise God. So if you're going to be free from these, you know, people get into all sorts of tormented thoughts and emotional. I think there's a lot of people that are on a lot of medications today for emotional upheaval that has to do with some of the things we're talking about. They're just holding grudges, and they've had a lot of wrongs done, and they all that is built up on the inside of them, and their body wasn't designed to handle all that. So they're taking medications. I'm not criticizing people. I just want people to realize the answers.
Yes.
God has a spiritual answer for things. And that his answers are not band-aids on a cancer kind of thing. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. You ought to write that down. 1 Corinthians 6:12. He said, there's certain things that are okay, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. Unforgiveness is not okay, and you shouldn't be brought under the power of it or any other appetite of your flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body. That means I keep it under subjection to my spirit. I bring it into subjection. So these verses are talking about, it's describing believers walking in dominion over their fleshly appetites. That's right. People shouldn't commit fornication. They shouldn't. Well, that's all right. But what about the Christian sin? What's he talking about? I'm talking about the one that Christians don't think much about.
Come on.
Unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Well, I forgave him, but I'll never forget what that old devil did to me. Oh, you forgave him, huh? How did the love of God forgive us? He said, I will not remember thy sins. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. See, people put Christian lingo on things to try to impress everybody that they're spiritual. Oh, I forgave them all right. Everybody says, well, that's praise the Lord, but I never will forget. Well, see, you're just trying to impress us with some little Christian lingo, but your heart has not released that unforgiveness.
That's so right. So good.
Praise the Lord. I had another sermon about 2 hours before I came to church, but the Lord brought me back to this. He doesn't want you controlled by that. Before, it's going to take you somewhere. That's going to take you somewhere. That's going to take you somewhere. Somewhere you didn't intend to end up. You need to control that appetite. Amen. So, like I said, let's go back to this. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's something you do by faith. And you forgive by faith. Faith is for doing something against what you see or what you feel. You can see sickness and read your Bible and see healed.
That's right.
So you walk by faith in what your Bible says. We've had many testimonies, people here. I mean, people criticize that message, but that's their problem. They can do without. That's their life. They do whatever they want to.
Come on.
Go on with your bad self. Be beat up and depressed. That's fine. But, you know, I'm going on with God. But do that with your feelings. Praise the Lord. Feelings, you don't forgive by feelings. You forgive by choice. You don't go by your feelings, even though you have feelings. But you can let the love of God dominate you when you have those feelings. This is such liberty. Because the devil can't get a ring in your nose and just sort of pull you around anymore.
Amen.
Amen. I don't make light of how somebody might have treated you. I've had terrible things done to me. I'm sure you've had terrible things done to you. So it's not about how terrible it was. But in those situations, people say, I just can't forgive. I just can't forgive. What they're saying is these feelings are so strong, I can't act some other way.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
But to say I can't forgive, in your flesh, no, you can't. The flesh won't let you. You understand what I'm talking about? I just can't. Well, not by your feelings. Your feelings won't let you. But you can tap into something greater than your feelings, and that's the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart. Isn't that right? And you can be free from those feelings and you actually get to the place that you actually enjoy that person's fellowship.
Amen.
If they choose to hang around, you know. That's on them, what they choose to do. But as far as you're concerned, you can be so free from that that you actually enjoy their fellowship. Now, this is getting over where it's real freedom here.
Amen.
You can't do it in your ability, but you can do it through His ability. And He has furnished the nature of love for you to be able to do this. The nature of love in your spirit. He has given you that ability because you can walk in love because you have the ability of the Holy Spirit's. You know, He shed the love of God abroad in your heart. And so He's given you that. He's furnished that love in you. And because of that, you have that ability to love even the worst of those that have wronged you.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Nancy was talking about this recently. She talked about Corrie Ten Boom, who eventually she's out preaching after she was, because she was going to be killed. Actually, within, I think it was a week of her being dismissed, accidentally dismissed, they gassed everybody in her wing, including her family. Well, you know, you don't have good feelings for people like that. But she was actually out preaching later, and this man that he didn't recognize her, but she recognized him, got saved in one of her meetings. And he came up and greeted her. He didn't recognize her, but he greeted her and said, "Now I'm your brother in Christ." She looked at him like, "Oh my goodness, this is the guard that treated us so bad." She had every wrong feeling that you could imagine. Remember, I don't know how many of you heard Pastor Nancy tell that story. And she said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me. I want to do right. I want to do right, but you're going to have to help me." And she said, the Lord helped her, and she reached out her hand, or maybe even hugged him, and said, "You're welcome at my home anytime."
Wow.
That's victory. I said, "That's victory. That's freedom." Amen. She overcame, not by her ability, because remember what she said? "You're going to have to help me."
That's right.
And that love that she, see, she had been forgiven of great debts. And she was able to release him from a great debt. Hallelujah. He's furnished the ability to do it. So, this is not human. What we're talking about tonight is not human. It's not of the flesh. It's not of the natural makeup of man. It is divine. The source of what we're talking about is divine. People have stated, I heard this statement before. I never thought much about it, but when I was meditating on this, the Lord brought it back to me. People have said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Yes. Yeah. I was meditating on this. I thought, that is the truth.
Yes, it is.
To forgive is divine.
Amen.
Amen. Because the love we forgive with is divine.
Yes, it is. That's good.
It's not our fleshly nature. It's of God. It's inside of us. We have that divine nature. Didn't say we're God. That's not what that means. That means we have His nature. The Bible talks about we're partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
And we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The nature of eternal life is love. And He furnished that for us. Isn't that good? And so the same forgiveness you and I receive from God as a debt is a debt that you and I owe to others. That's what Matthew 18 is all about. Remember that man that was forgiven of the great debt and went and got somebody by the neck and said, "Pay me what you owe me." And the word got back that he wouldn't forgive somebody else. And remember, the king that forgave him called him back in and said, "You wicked." Wicked. Why wicked? What had he done? Had he committed a murder? He wouldn't forgive. See, we got categories for sins. this one's really bad. You know, well, that's people just holding grudges. That's wicked.
It is wicked.
Did you know the Bible said in James that if you commit one sin, you've committed them all? You're guilty of the whole law. So you hold unforgiveness, which is the great commandment of the New Testament. You're a murderer. You're a thief. You're a bank robber. You're a gangster. You're an adulterer. You're a liar. Guilty of one. You're guilty of all. Guilty of what? Not me. I mean, my just little, little, little unforgiveness. Just a little. Just a little. Well, just a little still sin.
It is.
Yeah. Well, it's getting heavy in here. Praise God for the truth. Amen. So I learned a long time ago, if I want to be free from devils, I have to forgive. So now this love is of God, but it does still dwell on the inside of us, and we are the custodians of it. We can yield to it or not yield to it.
Absolutely.
Amen. We can still hold to the flesh and the fleshly nature of unforgiveness. We can still do that. We've all proven that. Isn't that right? So we decide if our flesh or our spirit is going to dominate us. I never forget. I started getting a hold of this message that I'm preaching to you tonight, in some respects, in Bible school. And I never forget, I was home between first year and second year of Rhema Bible school, and came home. And when I had left, everything wasn't real rosy, because they didn't support me going to that Bible school. They've all come around since much. But at the time, I was on my own pretty much. Nobody gave me any, well, my one brother gave me a little something, but financially, I'm on my own. Just somebody said, did you hold unforgiving? No, I was just glad to be in the will of God. But I got back home from the first year, between first and second year, during the summertime. I was home for a little bit. I don't remember how long it was. And I don't remember all the details, but something came up about, something about me going to that Bible school. And this one particular relative called me names, you know, so forth and so on. And when he did, I had all the fleshly feelings that I ever had against him. Any old unforgiveness or ill will I ever had against him. But this time, because I had revelation of the love of God was in me, I decided I'm not going to yield to that. And that, you know, I was equipped with the knowledge of the word enough that I could unhook from that and hook into that love that was in my heart. The love of God shed abroad in your heart. Amen. And I'll just tell you what happened. I didn't do it because I didn't want to, give him another opportunity to say things, but I almost burst out into tears out of compassion for him because he was tormented. You understand? I mean, vexed emotionally. And the compassion that came out of him towards my heart amazed me. I had never had that happen before towards somebody like that. You know what I'm talking about? And I distinctly remember, it's very real to me until this day. I can tell you the spot on the sidewalk. It was outside the front door. I can tell you the spot on the sidewalk where I was standing when this happened. That's how real it is to me. I still see myself standing there. I can still see who all was there and what was there. I can still see the whole scene. Not out of unforgiveness, but because this next thing that happened to me marked my life. It amazed me and shocked me that I could respond this way. And I distinctly remember the thought at the time. I distinctly remember the thought, this is not me. I know my fleshly nature would have been in the passage just,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And here I am almost bursting into tears out of compassion because he was hurting and tormented and, you know, in darkness and bound and full of a lot of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And I just think, remember, this is not me. And because this is divine. And in that moment, I was aware that if I could let this dominate me for the rest of I am free for the rest of my life. I just got the whole revelation right there, standing on that side, on the sidewalk, that if I can let this dominate me the rest of my life, I can be free the rest of my life. In other words, what people do to me don't have to control me. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I sense freedom in the house. Praise be to God. Do you remember Brother Hagin's book title? The love book?
Yeah.
Love. What's the next of it? The way to victory. Hallelujah. The way to victory. I never will forget what that old devil did to me. Well, you're not going to have any victory that way. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Your flesh wants to fight. It wants to, hey, you do that to me, I'll get back at you. You know what I'm talking about? That's not victory. That's being controlled by something. I said that's being controlled by your fleshly feelings and the unforgiveness. That's not the way to victory. Amen. You're being controlled by your fleshly nature, and that'll defeat you. That's not how you win any good fight. You don't win a good fight by fighting. You win a good fight by outloving them. That's how you win every single time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus said? Return good for evil. Bless those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, do you want to live in freedom, or do you not want to live in freedom? This is the high road. This is the most excellent way. The love of God is the most excellent way, the Bible said. This is the high road. Let others take the psychopath. You take the high road.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
There's a lot of truth to that. That verse in Matthew 18, where the Bible says, Jesus talked about that man not forgiving because he had been forgiven a great debt, but he wouldn't forgive. Remember what the Bible said? The Bible said, listen to this. The Bible said, he had, see, what is forgiveness? It's releasing a great debt. But because he, and that's, there's, we'll get to that maybe if we get time. We're running out of time already. But the Bible said that the king that had forgiven this man, he said he turned him over to the tormentors. That's in Matthew 18. Turned him over to the tormentors. I believe that's divinely inspired. Based on the rest of the Word of God and the revelation God's shown me, that is a divinely inspired word right there. Tormentors. That includes mental and emotional torment. I know in that case, he's talking about the guys that would beat him until he produced a certain amount of labor that day. It's a labor, slave labor camp. But I believe the divinely inspired word was tormentors. You might not have a person beating you, but the devil will whoop you. He'll just whoop you with torment and emotional problems and mental problems. You remember what Psalm 23 said, thou anointest my... One of the blessings of having the Lord as our shepherd who guides us into the truth, that he anoints my head with oil.
Yes.
That used to never mean anything to me until I got some understanding of what, pastors are shepherds too, but what shepherds would do in Israel back in those days whenever they were tending to sheep. Flies would crawl up into the nasal cavity of sheep and lay their eggs up in there, and then those eggs would hatch and crawl around inside the head of the sheep. And the sheep would go get buzzy in their head, and they're butting other sheep. Hitting trees and trying. See, that's, something's buzzing in their head. But that oil that shepherds would anoint it with was scented, but the scent was a scent that flies didn't like. And so it would keep the flies out of their nasal cavity and so forth. Oh, Jesus, anoint my head with oil. Amen. People's got stuff buzzing around inside their head. And you wonder why they're mean and nasty and cruel and unforgiving and harsh, and they lash out and so forth. It's because they got stuff buzzing in their head. If you understand that, you can be compassionate. Am I making any sense tonight? That's what he's talking about. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, or else we'd all be in mental torment. Hallelujah. And thank God for the ability to forgive. Amen. Every step outside of love opens you up to this. Notice in Matthew 18, it's in verse 27 and then 32 through 33, he said that he went on to say there that I had compassion on you and forgave you. Notice that word compassion. Compassion and forgiveness go hand in hand. And whether you realize it or not, remember back there in Ephesians into the fourth chapter, 32nd verse down through 5:2, fifth chapter, second verse, he talks about be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving. Unforgiveness is hard-heartedness. Because if forgiveness is from comes from a tender heart, unforgiveness comes from a hard heart. So, but then earlier he had said there in Matthew 18 in that story, I had compassion on you and forgave you the debt. Notice that word compassion. Compassion. In other words, you had pity. I'll tell you, if you're going to be hard and ruthless and demanding, you know what I'm talking about? You better watch out because what goes around is going to come around. Compassionate people are people that are merciful. Yes. Compassion and mercy are the same Greek words. Same, both words are translated from the same Greek word. I'm almost done. Tell your neighbor, he's almost done. Amen. This is preached about a lot, you know, over and over again, but there's still a lot of people who are holding on to things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses, it said in Psalm 106, verse number 32 and 33, they angered him at the waters of strife. They angered Moses at the waters of strife so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. You should underline ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. In other words, Moses got hot and got out of love. Amen. But notice it says it went ill with Moses. Yes. Now, you know what it's like when a person gets ill. Get a virus in their stomach or something.
Yes, sir.
They're not hungry anymore.
No.
They don't want to eat. They're throwing up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? In other words, rather than drinking in things, things are coming out. Isn't that right? A person can be spiritually ill just like they can be physically ill. When a person's physically ill, they're not hungry and they're spewing out.
Yeah.
Something got in them that didn't belong in there. When a person's spiritually ill, something's getting in them that didn't belong in there.
Right.
And where they should be drinking in the blessings of God and enjoying the fellowship of other people in the body of Christ and jumping right in the middle of a local church.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
They're sitting back critical. Things come out of them that they should be drinking in the blessings of God, but they got all this stuff spewing out. Something got in their system. Now they'll say, no, I'm not walking in under forgiveness. Well, then why is all that spewing out? You know, it's a little bit challenging having revelation gifts in operation. Some of you didn't get that. Because you know things whenever people don't think you know it. Amen.
Yes,
now, this hadn't happened recently, but I have gone to people's houses.
Yeah.
Not in my car. Not on bike. I didn't walk. But I was transported. Hasn't happened recently, so don't get all afraid. But I have had that happen. I could tell them where the fireplace was. I can tell you where the stair steps went up. I can tell you the color of the house, the whole thing. Stand there listening to them talking. Heard what they said. And all of a sudden, I'm back in my body.
Yeah.
Huh, thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. It's for protection.
Yes.
So, anyway, see how that got quiet on everybody. I tell you where your divine protection is. That's in walking in love. This is part of your protective armor. It doesn't say it in Ephesians, but you read in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. There's only two of them, of course. But one of those books, it talks about it in there, the armor of light.
Yes.
Put on he calls about the breastplate of faith and love.
Yeah.
I think it's 1 Thessalonians, maybe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, that's a protection.
Yes.
I said that's a protection. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let's wrap this up by talking about forgiving and forgetting. Amen. True forgiveness is actually forgetting also. That's the way God forgave us. Thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Remember, the Bible talks about him casting him in the sea of forgetfulness. And you know what he did? When he cast him into the sea of forgetfulness, when he finished there, he put a sign there by the edge of that sea and said, "No fishing."
No fishing. That's so good.
Right over his. That's the way God forgives. He forgives and doesn't bring it up again. Did you hear that? Doesn't bring it up again. Listen, husbands and wives. Forgiveness doesn't bring it up again. I said forgiveness. Come on, tell me you're hearing me all right. If you say, "I forgive, but I'm still holding a grudge against them," in your heart, you have not really forgiven. You know what I'm talking about. You know, people say, "I forgave them, but I just can't forget." Brother Hagin used to say people like that are bald-faced liars. Of course, I wouldn't say anything like that, but Brother Hagin said. If you keep talking about it, you haven't forgiven and you haven't forgotten. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." In other words, here's how I keep from forgetting his benefits. I keep thanking him for it. I keep talking about it. I keep talking about it. That'll work on the other side too. Here's how to hold on to unforgiveness. You just keep talking about it. Just keep talking about it. Just keep talking about it. If you want to stay in yet, well, I still have all these feelings. I know you keep talking about it. That's why you keep talking about it. Your words are creating it. Somebody's wanting to go. I know. Come on. If you would have stopped talking about it yesterday, it would have stayed in the day before yesterday. The reason you keep feeling it is because you keep talking about it. Amen. Amen. Love, 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sin. If you've forgiven it and forgotten it, you won't continually uncover it. You'll be covering it with love. Yep. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It ought to be that when if the wrong didn't come out, it was only between one and two people, you know, and it was just between two, it was really egregious. If it's under the blood, dealt with, everybody's fine. Nobody else should really even know about it.
Amen.
Well, I think people ought to be exposed. Let's turn that around on you and see how you like that. I think you ought to be exposed. I think we ought to get in the news and tell every bad thing you've ever done. No, the love covers. Love covers. Amen. Praise God. The Lord said to me one time, by walking in unforgiveness, it's as if you become a pallbearer to your own faith's funeral. Did you get that?
Yes,
now your faith just died.
Yeah.
And you're the pallbearer. And I'll read that again. Some of you are wondering what I said. By walking in unforgiveness, it's as if you become a pallbearer to your own faith's funeral. That's really too high a price to pay, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let me just wrap it up by saying this. You can decide ahead of time to forgive. You need to decide ahead of time to forgive. Because the reason is because in the passion of the moment, you know what I mean?
Yep.
In the heat of the emotional storm that you're going through, that's not the time to make that decision.
Right.
You're done. You're done too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the time. I mean, you might as well just forget it. Because if you haven't made the decision before that, doing it then is not impossible, but it's very difficult. So just make the decision ahead of time. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Just live that way all the time.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me. I remember this happened just recently. somebody said something to me, something, they came up and said something about, I'm so sorry about the way I answered you when you said something. Well, number one, I don't remember what they said.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I don't wear my feelings on my sleeve. And it's like, whatever, I'm not sure. But see, what I did, because their conscience was bothering them, I just said, oh, I forgave you. Why? Because, well, if they had something bothering them, they need to get that right.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure what it was. So listen, I never, you know, I didn't hold it against you.
Yes, amen.
Truth was, I didn't remember it.
Yeah, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I already decided a long time ago not to be offended. Amen. That doesn't mean I won't have opportunities. You know that. In fact, the fact that I decided that is indication that I probably am going to have opportunities. Because that's going to be tested, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Offenses will come, but you can refuse to take them. Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. It's impossible. In other words, you can't go through this life without somebody doing you wrong. Somebody did me wrong. I said, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the human race. It's not what they did. What are you going to do about it? That's the real deal. You can't go by what you feel. Amen. Because if you choose to act on your feelings, you'll still have the feelings. But if you choose to walk on in the love of God, you can bring those feelings in line and bring them under control. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't allow unforgiveness in your thought life, your home, your conversations, or in any place, anywhere in your life, any part of your life. Just live free. Decide ahead of time. No offense. It can't get in. I'm not going to let it in. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to let it dominate me. I'm not going to let it rule me. Amen. I'm just deciding right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just be a forgiver. Just be a... Brother Hagin made the statement. He said he had people in his church that... Well, actually, somebody came to him from his in his church. You can stand with me. Somebody came to him in his church and said, I want you to ask a question, answer a question for me. Okay, what's that? I will if I can. They said, you know, my, I don't know, some relative of theirs, sister or something, they don't hardly ever come to church. And but when they do, they need something, they'll come to church. You know, one of the kids are sick or something's wrong, you know, they'll come to church. And they'll come up for prayer, and you'll lay hands on them, and they say, you don't know it because you don't ever hear from them again, but they get healed every single time. Get healed every single time. Okay, Brother Hagin said, you haven't asked me anything. You told me something. Okay, here's my question. You know me and my family, this lady's talking. You know me and my family, we're in church all the time. We're faithful. All the time. Always here. But you've laid hands on us, and many times, laid hands on us. They said, but we hardly everybody, anybody in our family, on our side of the family, hardly ever gets healed. Brother Hagin said, well, you still haven't asked me anything. You just told me something. She said, here's my question. Why? Well, he said, I don't know much. I'm kind of new pastor here. I don't know much about you. I know a little about you, but I certainly don't know anything about your relatives. But he said, I would just venture to guess. If I were to guess what's going on, I would just venture to guess that your relatives that are hardly ever here in church, on the other side of the family, they're quick to forgive and quick to repent. And I venture to guess on your side of the family, your side is slow to forgive and slow to repent. She looked at him and said, well, my goodness, you hit the nail right on the head. She said, no, I didn't. The Holy Ghost did. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know it's not worth it? Not worth it to hold on to grudges. I mean, that's a form of insanity to keep doing something to try to hurt somebody else, but it's killing you. Killing your faith. That's not sanity. And don't wait. Here's another thing. Another thing. Don't wait until they repent to forgive. They may never repent. You don't have to wait till they repent. You release them. Release them. Now, let me I got to just finish this tonight. Matthew 18 talks about forgiveness. Jesus gave that parable of a king that forgave a man a great debt, and he turned around, grabbed a man by the throat, and said, forgive me. I mean, pay me what you owe me, something like $20, and he was forgiven a million or something like that. And he wouldn't. And he put him into the, you know, made him work it off. And the Bible said there that that's a parable about forgiveness, right? So the parable of forgiveness, here's what forgiveness does. It releases a debt. That's what forgiveness does. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, okay, I just won't feel that way anymore. No, you release you release them from any obligation.
No obligation.
Well, shouldn't they come and repent? For their sake, maybe. But as far as you, they don't even owe me that. I'm not waiting for them to come and repent before I forgive them. You might die holding on to that. You can't afford. The further you go in God, you can't afford to hold unforgiveness for a minute. You just answer those feelings. You answer those thoughts. Say, I release them of any obligation. What if it's money? Money is released. You know what? In the body of Christ, we're called to do that because spiritual connections are worth much more than money. I have in times past spent money to maintain good connections with people because there was a disagreement whether I owed something or they owed something and so forth. And I just said, forget it. Release it. Just release it. Well, they owe you. No, now they don't. They owe me nothing. Because this relationship is more important to me than dollars. We got to get that straight. Amen. Hallelujah. Freedom in the house tonight. Freedom in the house tonight. Praise God. If you have something that came up while we were ministering, you just make a choice right now. In fact, let's just all do that right out loud. I believe we need to do this before we go.
Yes,
hallelujah. If something's coming up while I'm preaching, you're aware. Okay, yeah, I see this. I got something I got to deal with here. I've been holding unforgiveness. I've been holding a grudge or whatever, had ill will towards somebody. If that's you, we don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to testify. But we do want to get rid of that tonight.
Yes.
So let's all say this out loud. Lift up both of your hands. That's a form of or expression, an outward expression of surrender to God. Lift up both of your hands. Say, Dear Father in heaven,
you've forgiven me of so much.
All my past
is gone
because of the blood. I confess my sin even after I was born again. And you forgave me. Released me, washed me, and forgave the debt that I owed you. Father God, I tonight see something I didn't see where I've been holding unforgiveness toward another. I release them now. It is my choice. I let go of their obligation to me. I forgive it. I release it. They owe me nothing, not even an apology. As far as I'm concerned, I'm in fellowship with them right now. It is a choice. I will enjoy their company if they see fit to come around. In Jesus' name, now I'm free. I'm free from that which was holding me bondage. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands up and just thank God for your freedom. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Thank you for a free flow of your blessings. Thank you for a free flow of your blessings. Thank you for fellowship with you, Father. Thank you for answers coming my way. Thank you for healing in my body, restoring my finances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's working now. My faith is working now. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, we're going to see some lurching forward. Glory to God. And when the devil tries to bring a memory of it, he tries to bring a picture of it back, you say, no, no, that's just a picture. That's gone. I've forgiven that. That's gone. And you answer it. He's just trying to get you back into the flesh. And you now know what he's trying to do, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I came to church tonight. Glad I came to church tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This can lengthen your life. It can lengthen your life. Hallelujah. I plan to live a long, healthy life full of the blessings of God. You know, I've been to the doctor in recent weeks and months and to get checkups, you know, and they're surprised. No medications. I'm not critical of anybody that's on medication. I'm just simply saying I found a place in God. Amen. And I'm going to stay there. If I step outside, I'm going to get back in just as quick as I can get back in. Amen. Praise the Lord.